From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Yes, it is my birthday.
Yes, it is.
I am Paul.
I am Storm.
And we are going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average.
Hello, Storm.
Hello, Paul. It is Tuesday, March 10th, your birthday, 2009.
It is my birthday, indeed. And this is show 031. Did we mention that it is my birthday?
I'm sensing a theme.
Yes. Sorry we are a day late with the podcast, but you know what? These things happen. Besides, it gives us my birthday to talk about. So before we do that, Storm, why don't you hit the big board?
Okay. Holding steady at 139 minions. More on minions later.
Mm-hmm.
We are at 100% on the Paul and Storm server fund.
We will
more
get
on
to
that later.
More on that in a second. Yes.
Whedon Watch. Maybe
question
not.
Question mark?
More on that later.
This is a show deferred.
There's a lot of exciting things that might be happening right now. McCartney Watch. No progress.
Nothing.
Poochie Corner is wrapped up with all of the other things and the Geek Tournament, the Geek Madness Tournament. So that's pretty much the old business, which is going to become the new fresh business as well.
Right. So let's dive right on in. What do you want to start with?
Let's go ahead and start with Operation Blue Mountain. You may not know this yet, Paul, because I only just now sent you the original email, but a little bit of backstory. If you've listened to the podcast before, you may have remembered that my birthday this past October, that Paul got me like the best present ever, because he remembered from an even earlier podcast that I had always wanted an Evel Knievel stunt cycle.
Yes.
And Paul, you not every year, I would say, but many years, you have that knack of just finding a really awesome gift that makes you go, yeah.
Unfortunately, the funny thing is, I am generally better at that for you than I am for my wife, which she never lets me forget.
Well, wives are hard to buy gifts for.
It's true. It's true.
Especially one's own wife.
Yes. So, but nonetheless, so I bought you the Evel Knievel stunt cycle.
Yes, and there have been other gifts in the past, over the past, 16 years that we've known each other, that were just really great gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought, I've been slacking that I hadn't really ever found the right thing.
Yep.
See, in terms of gift giving, you're like my wife in that you're hard to find something good for, because you buy everything that you want book-wise, movie-wise.
I do tend to do that.
But I thought, you are a star fucker. Right?
I am.
And that you particularly, when we have the Whedon Watch, in great part because you're a huge fan of Joss Whedon's work.
I am.
I like it as well, but you are Gonzo.
Yeah.
So I thought, we have all these minions, and we really haven't asked them to do anything.
And we repeatedly, both on the air and off the air, mostly off the air, have said, one of these days we have to deploy the minions and make them do something. And we keep talking about it, and we never really come up with how to deploy them, what to make them do.
And I thought to myself, why not do something with the minions that would wrap all this up and sort of create an interactive, immersive experience for Paul on his birthday?
Mm-hmm.
And the task, which was dubbed Operation Blue Mountain, was to send Paul a cheesy greeting card, online greeting card, and to address it from Joss Whedon.
Mm-hmm.
And that this would be staggered throughout the day so that it wouldn't just be, 9 in the morning, Paul gets 100 or whatever cards, funny as that would be, but instead to meet it out throughout the day. And I'll be damned, the minions came through in a really big, great way, did some really creative stuff with it. And that's where it came from.
Yeah, that, and I have to say, it played out pretty much. It could not have played out better than the way you had planned it. It was a treat just to watch. I mean, there was a couple in the morning, and one of them came from you. So I figured maybe you had Twittered about it or something. And I looked and I said, no Twitter. Oh, this must.
I didn't send any.
Oh, I said. Well, one of them had said it was from you.
Really?
That's and I assumed it was from you. But then throughout the morning and then early afternoon, I would just get this steady trickle and occasional flood of fake Joss Whedon e-birthday cards. Everyone was very creative. Like, some of them were from joss@whedon.com. Some of them were from therealjosswhedon@gmail.com. One was from you. One was from, like, not Joss Whedon, really. But it was touching to see the effort that some people had put into these.
Now, and behind the scenes, it was a lot of fun also, because I had forgotten to say what email address to send it to,
mm-hmm.
which worked out well, because people would contact and I got to play the overlord role.
Yes.
And of course, as overlord, of course, I did that intentionally.
Yes.
In order for them to figure it out themselves, and they did, for
right.
the most part. Anyway, however, moving on, whilst talking about the same
yes.
thing, so Whedon Watch, there's some question as to if we have achieved recognition.
Actually, at this point, there isn't really question, but I like to pretend that there still might be a little question, because of all the fake emails that people set them up from, we got one that seemed to be addressed properly from weedenesque.com, or is it weedenesque.net? I never remember properly, but in any event, it seemed it was subtly done.
Go ahead. There was a specific detail which we're not going to share with you because it's, you know, like crimes.
Yeah.
They hold back certain details.
It's
just
like
in
the
case.
Zodiac.
Yeah. So there was a Zodiac killer detail in this particular card that sort of called it out as, like, it was inside information that we didn't think we had divulged anywhere else, and that
right.
only someone like Joss Whedon would know.
Yes.
We'll say that about it.
But the upshot being, I emailed back semi-hesitantly and expectantly, and I believe it actually came from one of the editors at Whedonesque and not Joss himself. But there is always that hope.
That's pretty good, too.
Yeah, that's still quite good. And thank you, everyone, and thank you, Storm. It was really a nice treat. A lovely and free birthday treat.
Well, good. Well, are you calling me cheap? Is that what's happening here?
No, not at all. Just that nobody had to blow any cash on it. Well, I mean, okay.
I'm totally kidding.
I did spend actual money and effort on your Evel Knievel stunt cycle, but I won't mention that.
And I would like to apologize to any of the minions who I've not credited, because you get a special citation for this. honestly, we got much more response than I was expecting, and it was fun, but... Anyway,
yes.
Contact us if you didn't get credit.
Yes. So that's those things. I have a couple of quick notes.
Sure. I want to get back to Joss Whedon after that.
Okay. A couple of quick show-related notes some people had mentioned. A couple of people mentioned that they've heard a faint echo in the past few podcasts. The reason for that, just to review, Storm and I conduct this. We record at each of our houses, and we're talking over the phone right now. And then Storm sends me his audio, and I marry them up in our little Pro Tools setup and make the actual podcast.
You have a little ceremony each time.
The echo that you're hearing is probably my phone, the earpiece from my phone, which is set relatively loud, because when you talk on the phone, especially over a satellite, there's a very brief delay as the sound bounces its way up to the satellite and through the tubes and into Storm's a phone earpiece, and then he talks and it wends its way back to us.
So it's basically very high technology feedback.
It is. Well, it's just, when I realign the show for timing purposes,
yep.
the times that we're actually talking don't necessarily line up to the times that we're actually talking, if that makes
right.
any sense, which it doesn't.
Yep. It's woogie-woogie stuff.
It is. So that's what that is. And second of all, I wanted to thank everyone for their responses regarding... last podcast, we talked about embarrassing moments that people still beat themselves up over. And also related to that, we also had a goodly discussion about fans and people who have a case of the try too hards.
Yep.
I wanted to reassure our listeners because several people, you know, in subsequent weeks said, yeah, I saw Paul and Storm at the Ann Arbor show. Hope I wasn't trying too hard. 99.5% of you are perfectly fine and wonderful. And we promise that you, and I'm talking to you, were just fine. And we were very pleased to have made your acquaintance. And even the people who do try too hard, we're still very happy to see them and have them as fans. Don't get us wrong.
Put it this way, the only people that we've ever had a real problem with because they'd approached us, they're in jail. So if you're not in jail right now,
then you're okay.
Well, you might be in jail, but if you're not in jail because of something you did with us,
right,
then you're in the clear. So it's
so I just wanted to make that clear to folks because they, you know, because I'm the same way. I would get self-conscious if I had said that about myself as well. So in talking about our fans, we're not talking about you. It's those other people.
That's right. Okay.
So back to Joss Whedon.
Okay. This is a very itsy bitsy spidery connecty podcast.
Okay.
So. Back to Joss Whedon, the name of this topic is actually Gomez Adams.
Okay.
And that is because Gomez Adams would be in his basement every once in a while with his little engineer hat on, railroad engineer.
Yes.
And he would be in front of his very awesome model railroad set, which I will someday build in my own house.
Right.
And unlike, you know, normal people who would just send the trains around the track.
That wasn't Gomez good Adams, for Gomez, no.
No, not at all. He was not satisfied until he had successfully navigated two trains into colliding with each other head on.
Usually with a nice, like, crappy television SFX explosion.
Yes. And not that that's much of a feat with the model railroad, considering, you know, it's train tracks. But still, he took great joy in it.
He did.
And I'm not saying that we've done that, but right now it feels like we have engineered this great Gomez train wreck between Joss Whedon and Will Wheaton.
That's right. It is the final battle of our Geek Madness tournament, and, which I'm sure all of you know, but just in case.
And the voting indeed is at the highest levels that they have been. The discussion levels are as high as they have been.
Yes.
And some real passion is out there.
Yes,
and
there is.
I just want to say we love them both.
Yes, we do. We do. This was, we discussed very early on when we set up the original brackets, some possible foursomes and twosomes. And this was most decidedly one of the ones we were expecting or
a great possibility.
It was a strong possibility. We knew that setting them up. That's why we put them on opposite sides. And it's interesting. I love how do I put it? How seriously people are taking this wonderful pretend silly thing.
Yep. Yep. I see upsides for both of them. Like, sort of in my mental mind, I would love it if, like, I really do want to write a very nice letter and, you know, work the connections that we do have to try to get some sort of official notice. Oh, by the way, the 10-minute mark was 3 minutes and 20 seconds ago.
Yes.
And to actually make this a real thing, or at least get a nice letter saying, you know, from the White House saying, ha-ha, very cute, but no, you know, good enough.
Right.
But what would be great is if whichever of them becomes the secretary would actually use the title.
Yes. You know?
And I could see both of them doing that, but it would be used in different ways.
Yep.
So that's my secret dream.
Sure. Should be very interesting to see how this all shakes out. And there's still, you know, at least as of this recording, plenty of time. This thing could go either way. It's anybody's ball game.
Okay. Daisy Channing once more. Once more. What would be awesome is if it got linked onto Slashdot or FARC or something like that.
Yes.
It would be good, but bad, because right now our ability to handle that kind of burst, as great as our webmaster is and has been able to do the jiu-jitsu to handle the traffic in a good way, we could not handle a Slashdotting.
No, however, absolutely not. Very few could.
However, cloud computing Yes. And like a cloud server would be able to handle that.
Yes. Storm is oh so coyly leading up to the fact that very soon now, probably within the week, we are going to be migrating to a new server host.
100% on the server fund.
Yes.
Now, sort of.
Sort of.
Sort of. And we have some explaining to do, not really apologizing, but we did not, in fact, purchase a new server. We decided to go with a route that is a more of a subscription type of deal.
Yeah, we are going with the as you will see when we switch over, the friendly folks at Laughing Squid made us an offer we couldn't refuse, let's just say, to switch on over to there with cloud hosting, which I know very little about other than it sounds really cool and makes me think of sheep. But basically, they also host, among other folks, they host Veronica Belmont. And that was all we needed to hear, because if Veronica Belmont, who is an extremely popular person, she was in our tournament. She has, at this point, I think like 190,000 Twitter followers and such. And she used to have a habit of linking to herself and then basically bringing down her own site. Whenever she would Twitter something on that linked to her own site, people would follow it and bring her server down. And since she has switched, she has been unable to spoof her own site.
So I don't know if that changeover could be made before like the end of the week, when it would be more likely to be a push. At any rate, that's all inside baseball boring.
Yeah.
The issue is many of you have donated to our server fund, and it really was our original intention to buy a physical server.
Yes.
Since we have not, and truth in advertising and all the rest, if you would like your donation back,
we don't want anyone to feel like they're gypped. And if someone has indeed donated toward the server fund with that specific purpose, and since we are no longer buying a new server, if they would like to have that donation back, we are happy to return it. Just get in touch with us.
It will, you know, the funds obviously will go to our ongoing operations.
Yes, absolutely. Like the Paul and Storm need some cookies while we're on the road fund.
Right. There's the Paul and Storm need to buy more John Scalzi books fund.
There is, of course, the ongoing Paul and Storm need a Chipotle burrito and they need it now fund.
Yep. The Paul and Storm, hey, what the heck, let's play Zaxxon for 24 hours straight fund.
There's all sorts of places, fine, deserving places that your money will be going. However, as we say, we don't want anyone to feel like we took their money under false pretenses. So feel free to get in touch if you're one of those people, and we'll happily refund your donation.
And as soon as this podcast is over, I'm going to go online, and if you agree, Paul, to rename it the Paul and Storm Free Money Fund.
Yes. Because that's, I believe, how it started.
It did. And it's going back to its roots because, you know, we don't need to get money to do the podcast, but it does make us feel pretty good.
It sure doesn't hurt.
Okay.
So, okay, that's out of the way. I wanted to say a few things.
Yes.
I wanted to say that I'm having a lovely birthday, and I am sitting here. My family is downstairs. I have some Chinese food that either just arrived or is on its way. I heard my dog bark once. Usually, if the delivery man arrived, we would hear a veritable wall of barking. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to mention that I am sitting here wearing my Buttafuoco pants.
Oh.
Which, if I recall, you bought for me for either my birthday or for Christmas.
Yeah, like 12 years ago.
A long time ago. And for those of you who don't know what I am talking about, since I think it's a term we made up, Buttafuoco pants also might be described as douchebag pants. They're those incredibly loose-fitting, elastic-banded, lightweight. They're sort of like sweatpants, but a much thinner fabric.
They're lounge-around pants.
Yeah, they're those lounge-around pants that doughy jersey douchebag types wear everywhere because they're too lazy to do things like button or zip.
Now I think chefs wear them sometimes, but not because necessarily they're douchebags,
no,
but just because they happen to match the environment.
Yeah, they're comfortable and they're loose and they breathe, and these particular pants have Hundreds and hundreds of smiley faces on them. They're black with hundreds and hundreds of yellow smiley faces. And they are just the ugliest, most comfortable things in my drawers. And why I mention that is because they are one of my favorite and most useful gifts that I have ever received. Not just from you, but from ever. I mean, there are very few gifts that I've received that I still wear 10 years on or you use 10 years on.
You may have joked that you wanted a pair of those because they looked comfortable.
I did.
And I think that's why I bought them and then found the ugliest ones.
Yeah, because you know me.
And at the time, in Da Vinci's, our official mascot was Bendy, who is a posable Gumby-like figure, but not Gumby. He's not Gumby.
No.
And he's basically a smiley face that actually has a body.
Yes. But the reason I mentioned that is because I thought that would be a good thing to put out to our listeners as far as memorable, awesome presents they have received.
Wow.
Or you could segue it into just birthday memories. For example, I happen to have one here. I live and grew up in the Philadelphia area. And my birthday being March 10th, it was always just a matter of odd timing that right on or around my birthday, every year, the Harlem Globetrotters would come to the Philadelphia Spectrum and play. Yep. And that was a thing I did. I think I did it 2 or 3 years in a row, went to go see the Harlem Globetrotters. And still, at this point, 30 years on, 30 plus years on, I was driving down near downtown Philly and looked up and there was a billboard. And hey, what do you know? The Harlem Globetrotters are in town. It just, I guess they have a set schedule every year, and early March, that's when they hit Philadelphia. And that is one of my strong childhood memories, is going to the Spectrum and watching the Harlem Globetrotters trounce the Washington Generals.
I have a birthday moment. It wasn't so much about the gift as it was the moment. In college, I moved into this group house with several friends who I sang with in our college a cappella group. We had been there for only a week, and our the house was broken into, and my radio boombox was stolen. And then, as now, I listen to music all the time. So that was really tough. It was actually stolen by the former tenant who had a disagreement with the landlord.
Wow.
So this was in September. My birthday's in October. And we had a party on the weekend. And at one point, I was escorted back into my room. And there was music blaring in my room coming from this little, you know, boombox stereo. Everyone had pitched in and bought me a new one. And led by my friend Jay Corcoran, who kind of muscled it all together. He took charge, and that was just such a wonderful thing. And I don't
that's
know
really
if
sweet
if I ever told them that. And I hope that some of them listen to this podcast.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I have something semi-similar, but not really. But you'll hear how it is. This will mean nothing to pretty much all of you, I expect. I grew up near a mall called the Oxford Valley Mall, which was a very 70s, you know, dark brown tile, standard suburban shopping mall. And one of the, this was before they ever really had food courts, where the restaurant-y or food places would be sort of dotted all over the mall.
Yep.
And one of them was a it was a hot dog place called Swanky Frank. And it was all done up in tan and orange, and there was a terrible, huge mural of a giant hot dog that was dressed to the nines and had a top hat and a walking cane and a monocle. He was Swanky, and he was a Frank. Get it? And it was, there were no seats. There was just like three or four of those stand-up tables.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, this gaudy, awful place that you used to go to get orange whips and hot dogs.
Yep.
And I would always joke, not always, but on more than one occasion, would joke with friends, I want my next birthday party at Swanky Frank. And come the birthday of my, I think it was my junior year in high school, went to the mall with some friends, just hanging out, and we're walking around, and they, you know, unbeknownst to me, they sort of lead me in the direction of Swanky Frank. And We get near there, and I see that there is a group of about six or seven of my friends, and they, in fact, threw me a birthday party at Swanky Frank. And to top it off, all of the prizes, I mean, presents they bought me were gifts from Spencer's Gifts, three doors down, you know, like the game Pass Out and a pair of, like, rubber boobs and, you know, some poster of some scantily dressed female. And that was, that may have been my best birthday ever. That was really sweet for them to go all the way like that.
Well, this needs some leavening with an unpleasant birthday experience.
Okay.
It's actually not my experience, but my sister's. I guess it was like her 9th or 10th birthday, and it was kind of a typical go to the pizza place for your birthday kind of birthday, which is a great kind of birthday, by the way. But this place, I don't remember its name, they had these balloons of this character that was their mascot, kind of their pizza-like Ronald McDonald.
Right.
And it was
Ronaldo
sort of
McDonald.
Ronaldi Madaldi. There's the leading title for the
Yeah, that's a front runner.
podcast. Anyway, and it was basically a funny-shaped balloon, and the part where it tied off fit into these, like, cardboard feet. So it was like this balloon that would stand up. And on your birthday, they would give you an especially large one.
Right.
A huge Rinaldi Madaldi. So, and the balloon, I mean, it seemed like it was 6 feet high at the time. But, you know, you're a kid. It was probably
you're a kid. Right.
2 feet, whatever. And they bring it over. And for some reason, I think my sister really wanted this. That was like the reason we came to this place.
Right.
And it gets to within like 3 feet.
Wow, my family's making a hell of a lot of noise back there. I hope you can hear it. They're having a party out there, and I'm not there. I'm resentful. But anyway,
okay,
you were saying.
I'll wrap this up. So it gets to within 3 feet of my sister, this 8-foot balloon, and the thing pops.
Oh.
So, but it's okay. It's cool. They'll get another one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they blow one up, bring it over, gets within 3 feet of her. It pops again.
Oh, my God.
They did this like 4 or 5 times, and my poor sister left the restaurant in tears.
Oh, and how old was she?
Maybe 9.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. So please share with us your great birthday experience or the one that scarred you, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
I'm going to reserve the other topic I had because I think we've done some good work.
Yeah, here. I think that's good. Yeah. So give us your birthday, share your birthday thoughts or a good or awful present you received. I must work in a plug here. We're going to be places, but you can find us on the web at paulandstorm.com and find out where we're going to be. But this Friday, the 13th of March, is Red Nose Day, which is a very popular British charity event. And our good friend Ken Plume from Quick Stop Entertainment has organized a American online offshoot of it. Various folks will be contributing. Ken and his friend Widge will be live broadcasting, video podcasting, whatever the hell, for 24 hours straight.
Wow.
Starting, I believe, at noon on Friday the 13th. And all sorts of cool folks will be participating, calling in, sending in things, including John Hodgman, Jonathan Colton, ourselves, our good friend Len Peralta of the Jawbone Radio podcast, a whole slew of folks. And you can find out all about it at rednosenet.com. We will have a link to it on our website by the time you hear this. And it is a very good cause. And you should listen and participate and contribute in any way that you can. I believe the theme this year for the British one is do something funny for money.
Hmm.
And again, you can find out all more about it at rednosenet.com.
Also visit paulandstorm.com. Learn how to become one of our Brigade of Minions minions.
Yes.
Donate to our newly reestablished free money fund.
Sure.
For us. And otherwise, I am Storm.
And I am Paul.
And we have been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. And I'm going to go blow out some candles.
All right. And you folks, go do things. Yeah.
ein 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 chagiga bli 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 uga ein 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 chagiga bli 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 uga as evo 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 ha uga evo 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 evo